Today's guest is an experienced medium and mentor with a background in psychology and counseling, and the author and illustrator of The Pearls of Wisdom, a fairy tale guide to life's magic secrets for all ages. Hello, everyone. I'm Pamela Brewer, welcoming you to this edition of Mind Talk. According to a survey of 1,900 girls and young women between 7 and 21, which was conducted by Charity Girl Guiding, many feel that pressure from social media, TV, friends, teachers, and parents affect how they think and act. So we're going to turn to Sherry Engler today and ask what her thoughts are about this and perhaps what some of her concerns are. Sherry, welcome to Mind Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Sherry, I know that you have expressed a concern for sort of the emotional well-being of our young people, particularly girls and young women. Why is that? Why are you concerned?
Well, I'm concerned because I feel like there's a hidden process going on that we aren't paying enough attention to. And that hidden aspect of growing up female is that our strong females are being dumbed down as early as grade school. And I just feel like that needs to be looked at.
Now, the idea of women being dumbed down, if you will, that's not a new idea. I mean, we've been hearing about that and understanding that, and perhaps society has been working to reduce or eliminate that for a while now. Is society, in your opinion, aware enough and doing enough?
No, I don't think they are. I think there's a lot of mayhem happening in schools and the internet with girl against girl. And if you look at this, it's like we've moved beyond our evolutionary state of needing to compete for a male to protect us while we have babies and be a gatherer and they're the hunter. And we've moved past that. But in schools and in life, if you look at what's really going on, the girls are all about their outer appearance, and they're ultimately still going after the boy. They're worrying about the boy. Well, we don't need to do that anymore. We can take care of ourselves now. We don't need that evolutionary strategy of being protected by a male. We can do for ourselves. But that's still like the major focus. So in grade school, little girls are pulling each other down because they're in competition for a little boy who doesn't even know what's going on at that age.
Right.
And that's our goal system. It's not to grow up and be a self-actualized, fully functioning, confident woman in the world. It's to worry about what we look like and to try and get what somebody else has, and it's usually oriented around a little boy.
Do you think... So we
start tearing down each other. So for those girls that have a lot, they're more of a risk. They're more competition to the other girls. And that's why I say we're losing our strengths very, very early on. Girls are learning that it's not safe to have too much. You know, if you're smart and you're pretty and you're athletic and you're an artist, you know what? You better go hide, because the other little girls are going to come after you because you're out matching them. You're out doing them. And for what? What is the goal there? It's to get attention from a boy. That whole premise is set up to self-destruct our whole gender. And why are we teaching our gender to cannibalize itself? Why are we going after each other at such an early age and for a completely wrong goal? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. What should the goal be? As little girls in school, as a little girl in school, what would you like her parents to teach her about herself?
Well, first of all, I think social media is a huge problem. I think media is a problem in general because it just keeps reinforcing I'm as important as what I am on the outside. That's who I am. I'm what I am on the outside. The role models we have for all people, but if you look at it for girls in particular, it's oriented to what they look like. We need to change that to who they are inside. If we can help them figure out who they are inside, if we can find their skills, their passions, if we can get them to understand that life is about giving and not trying to get something, that's an aspect of the whole competition that you see going on. They're trying to get something. Well, what if we switch that to what do you have to give to the world and take the focus off of what am I on the outside and what am I trying to get and change it to the focus on the inside. Who are you as a person in this world first, not even as a female, but as a person? Who are you? And I think it's the responsibility of society in general, but in particular parents, to watch their children, to talk to them, to see what their skills are, and then blow that flame, blow that little spark into a flame, because if they can feel confident in who they are, not how they look, that's always going to be shallow. That's never going to serve them well in the long term. But if they can find out what makes them excited, we all come into life with a purpose and passions and skills, things that we're good at. If we can focus on that, that person will develop as a strong human being from the inside out instead of the outside in. They'll look to themselves for answers, not to society, not to other girls, not to famous people in the media, which are not, there's just honestly not very much in the way of role models for anybody really, but in particular little girls. It's very appearance oriented and very money oriented. It's not the values that a person needs that will create that core within them that will see them through a whole lifetime. If we can build that in them, they're going to be confident. They're going to have self-esteem, and they're not going to fall prey as much to any outside influences if they know who they are on the inside.
And, you know, as you speak about some of the quote-unquote famous role models, particularly for girls, so many of them, it's not only about how they look facially, but it's how they look as a sexual creature. And they're wearing less and less, quite frankly.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, don't even get me started on role models out there. I could go through a whole list. Poor Kardashians, I'm sure, you know, they're thinking I have a vendetta, and I really don't. It's just that name carries so much weight in the world. And why? Because they have money, they have clothes, they're very sexualized. Our little kids, because of everything that's in the media, they don't even have a chance to grow up like I grew up in the 60s and born in the 50s. They don't have that opportunity. They have everything just slammed in their face, and it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate to their little psyches and their stages of development, but that's their role models. They have Kardashians. They have Miley Cyrus. They have Lady Gaga. They have, and I'm not saying anything bad about those people. They're doing what they do. That's their profession. Fine. But where's the rest of them? You know, yeah. Where's the rest of the role models? It's just that the market is so saturated. The media is extremely destructive. I think the day and age of homeschooling and public schools, I think it's going to start to fade away. I think kids are going to start to be schooled on the internet, homeschooling. And I think that's a great thing. I think the more we can pull kids away from the media, the better.
We are having a conversation with Sherry D. Engler, who is the author and illustrator of The Pearls of Wisdom, a fairy tale guide of life's magic secrets for all ages. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to ask Sherry to tell us a bit about The Pearls of Wisdom, and in particular, about Princess Shalimar. We'll be right back. Sherry, is it fair to say that one of the things that you did in response to your concerns about girls and young children is to create the pearls of wisdom.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about the pearls of wisdom. Who is Princess Shalimar? What's her deal?
Well, the way it relates to the conversation we're having so far, and I missed a very important aspect, is it's not just little girls' response to each other, but it's little boys. If a girl has too much, yeah, she's pretty much vulnerable and dragged down by other little girls, which we need to keep those girls strong. We need to get them to understand they need to hold on to their gifts and be who they are. And if they can't be accepted in their little grade school, remember, they're never going to see those kids again. You know, it's not worth it to give up all your best jewels that young to be accepted by people you probably won't see again. And when it comes to the boys, they're very intimidated by girls that have a lot. And I really think that goes all the way through life for women. It's like we live in this somewhat secret society. And like I started out saying that there's hidden things going on. What about that? And I'm going to get to Shalimar in a minute, but this is a very important crossover point. Why is it that we grow up with little boys teasing each other, saying, "You got beat by a girl"? Right? I mean,
yes.
How many times have you heard that?
Right.
Why is that a bad thing? What happened that everybody accepted that that's an okay thing to say? And it's those kind of things. I want to go back to the root of what we believe about ourselves and how that develops. And it develops with us accepting that it's okay for boys to joke with each other, saying, "You got beat by a girl." That little girl's going to think, "Oh, wow, so that's a really bad thing. I'm supposed to be less than." We grow up with this subtle understanding that, of course, girls are supposed to be less than. Okay, so this goes into quantum theory. So the Pearls of Wisdom it's a fairy tale, but it's also kind of, it's teaching through entertainment, I guess. It's got so many principles so subtly woven in that I think maybe you don't notice that messages are coming through, but they're important messages. And there's a scientific basis to a lot of this, and it has to do with quantum theory. So I'm sure most people have heard the saying that thoughts are things. Well, they are. What we think about ourselves is what we project into our reality and make it so. So throughout the book, you'll be seeing the same sentence many, many times: believing makes it so, and it does. So if we start out believing we are XYZ, we're going to keep going that way. We're going to grow up believing that that's what we are. And whatever we believe we are, we will manifest in our reality. It's a law of the universe. It's a law of attraction. So we need to change what we believe about ourselves as early on as possible. And that's up to parents, it's up to schools, it's up to media, it's up to society, it's up to strong women being role models, but it's also up to men. So Shalimar was born with all these amazing gifts. And it's just trying to point out how difficult it is for that population. We spend a lot of our time helping those with less than. But what about those with more than their share? It's not really their fault, right? But they pretty much get punished and beat down to fit into society and not cause a disruption. Men are intimidated by strong women. You know, we still deal with that as adults. I did a little research. I went and looked up some articles on empowering young females, and I went down and I looked at the comments on these articles, and it's women in their 20s, 30s, and up. And they're saying how hard it is still to be accepted in the workplace, to be accepted by men. Men kind of don't know what to do with a young woman who has it all. We need to look at that. They're trying to be who they are, but they're not getting the support from society. So in the Pearls of Wisdom, Shalimar grows up with these gifts, and she's taught that this is a good thing. But when it comes time to get married, the men won't even approach her. She's a magical young princess, so she can do magical things, and she's going to be a powerful queen one day. And she'd self-taught. She pretty much lived in her library and became very smart. And these men will, and she can make a pearl appear in her hand, so she has magic too. And magic, as it turns out, is actually an easy thing, and it talks a lot about that as well. And again, that's just vibration and quantum science. But the men won't even approach her. They watch her on the beach as she creates the pearl. They're afraid of who she is, or they want to just dominate and own that. And it's just so difficult to survive and hold on to your gifts and be who we're meant to be.
I know that in the Pearls of Wisdom, there's a section where there's a young man who is talking to Princess Shalimar. He's not able to get from her what he wants, and so he then decides to blame her for his shortcomings. What were you trying to say?
So that's, if I'm thinking about the right part that you're talking about, that has to do with the magic.
Yes.
So again, if we go back to the quantum theory of believing makes it so, and what you, I have this little anagram, I think that's what it's called, and it's fate, F-A-T-E. Your feelings, your actions, and your thoughts equals your experience. You create your own reality. And this, again, this is a law of the universe. There's so many books on law of attraction, and it's really true. But what they don't really spell out really simply is very spelled out in this book. For her to make that pearl, for her to change reality and increase her vibration and be able to do what she does, that her guiding angel says you have to have your body, heart, mind, and soul all in one thing, and then magic will happen. And so she produces this pearl. Well, there's a prince who basically wants to marry her because she has this huge kingdom, and he's very fear-based. So he represents kind of the darkness, and she kind of represents the light in the most basic way. And he wants to own her, basically, and he's one of the few that aren't afraid of her because he's so full of himself. It's like, ah, you're just a woman, but I really don't like this magic thing you do. That doesn't fit into my belief system, so stop it. I won't accept you unless you stop doing that crazy magic stuff, because that's going to make me look really bad. And she's like, you know what, you just don't understand this. You don't understand that there's infinite possibilities. But he tries to dominate. He's just a very dark creature, and she just tries to get him to understand that there's possibilities in the world. Did I answer your question?
Yes,
I'm not sure I did.
You did. And you know what's interesting about the Pearls of Wisdom is you're right. There are many pieces of wisdom that are shared during the process of creating this story. You absolutely underscore the power of belief frequently. And then there are things that Princess Shalimar learns from those around her. Those who are the hardest to love are the ones who need love the most. What an interesting lesson for her to hear and to learn. And my goodness, what an interesting impact that belief would have on the world in which we live today.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. That kind of touches my heart. My mom, all of my relatives, all of my ancestry, pretty much are teachers or nurses, people in service trying to make a difference. And my mom taught second grade, and I would go in there, and I was a teenager at the time. I would go and help her in her class, and these little kids, she'd have like 33 of them in there or so, which is a lot. And they just, some of them just be bouncing off the walls, and I would talk to her. And this one little boy in particular was so difficult. And I just felt at the time I didn't have the patience that she did, and I was just astounded. And I went to her after everybody left, and I said, how do you handle this little boy? Oh, my God. and she said, well, honey, you just have to realize that the ones who are hardest to love need it the most. And just, it's like something just hit my chest and just branded it with that concept for the rest of my life. It just explains so much.
Absolutely.
It doesn't excuse the behavior of other people, but it explains how you need to be in response to those people with those behaviors. And I think it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Sherry, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, folks, stay where you are. We will continue with Sherry Engler, author and illustrator of The Pearls of Wisdom. ¶¶ Sherry, another profound lesson that Shalimar is exposed to is the idea that loss can be one of the greatest teachers. And I'm going to take a quote from The Pearls of Wisdom, in which Princess Shalimar is told, "Time will heal, but you must stay willing and open so light may shine into the wound to heal it." What an amazing way to think about grief and the ability to move through the grief and the time that it takes to move through the grief.
Well, this opens up a whole other aspect of the book. There are so many aspects of this book. So when somebody says, "Oh, what's your book about?" I'm just like speechless for quite a while. Let's see, how much time do you have? You know, there's so many things, as I think you're finding out right now. So many areas that are great areas of discussion, and this one in particular, I work as a medium, and I talk to people on the other side all the time. And I think what needs to happen with our philosophy about death and dying and grief and loss is we need to see that as a beautiful and natural process. It's in a shroud of mystery and fear and unknown, and it really needs to basically come out of the closet. We need to bring death out of the closet and talk about it and let it be okay and change our view on it. So this beautiful character, Aunt Tilly, it's really hard not to fall in love with her. She's just the driving force of Shalimar's education of, again, the magic in life that's around us all the time. Well, Shalimar loses her parents, spoiler alert, and then she has this very old and magical Aunt Tilly who teaches her things. But Tilly has to move on, and she tries to explain this to this young girl who's only still 13, who is going to be completely left alone. And she gives her so many beautiful principles to live with. One of them is that there's a reason for everything. I really want to get that in here. We go through so much loss and grief and trauma and tragedy in our lives, and you can keep saying, "Well, why did this happen? Why did this happen?" There is a reason for everything, and what you need to do is like you said, let that light in and look at what you can learn from this. Why did I plan to experience this in my life? What was I thinking before I came into this life that I charted this for myself? And then learn that lesson and move on. I think the reason a lot of us get stuck, whether it's grieving someone that we've lost, or it's, you know, marrying an alcoholic five times, or, you know, you see people repeat patterns, this is something they came into this lifetime to learn, and they're having trouble learning it. So why not just bring it out in the open and say, "Oh, so this is how things work," right? Magic secrets of life. This is how things work. Look at what you would have wanted your soul to learn. Learn it and get out of that class. That's the good news. You can do that. The bad news is you go right into another one. You got to learn that one too. School, Earth is like a school. We came here to learn. And if we can just understand that as the premise, I think what we learn would go a lot easier. As far as people crossing over, she teaches her that you haven't lost that person. And I teach people all the time how to communicate with their loved ones on the other side. If we could just understand that they don't really die, they just go invisible, and that they're there to talk to anytime we want to, it would take so much of the sting out of death and the trauma to understand that they don't go anywhere. So Aunt Tilly explains that to her. It's still hard. You lose that physical person, but there is a lot of teaching about death and dying in the afterlife.
How would you recommend that folks approach this book with their children? Is this a book to be read to a child, with a child? What's your thought?
Well, that's why we have Fairy Tale Guide to Magic Secrets of Life for all ages. adults get so much out of this,
They
and they
do.
can read it at that higher level of understanding what's being conveyed there. Just like all the things that you've pulled out, maybe a young child wouldn't be able to pull that right out and say, "Oh, I understand, why she said to love those that are hardest to love." But if a parent is reading the book to a child, they have so much to work with. I had toyed with the idea of making like a parent's manual, to help them identify all these underlying principles and values. Can I just say that for a minute? Values, going back to where we started with empowering young females, empowering young people in general, we are losing our values as people, as a community, as what used to be a tribal way of living. We've lost that. We're separated. We've lost our values. Those values are in the book. So it's an opportunity to go into this book and pull out what you want to teach your child, and just take moments as you're reading it and explain what is going on to whatever level they're able to understand it. It's all there and usable.
In a lot of ways, as I was reading the Pearls of Wisdom, it struck me that it is, in and of itself, a parenting manual. Because you're right, as a parent, you can, as an adult, you can read it. As a teacher in a classroom, what a wonderful teaching moments for the class if the teacher could share it with the children and then bring his or her wisdom to the discussion. Sherry, we are out of time. It has been such a delight to talk with you. Again, folks, The Pearls of Wisdom, a fairy tale guide to life's magic secrets for all ages, and it is written and illustrated by today's guest, Sherry D. Engler. Sherry, thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome. Could I quickly mention the book is a free download at our website, and all the funds for the books that are for sale in hard copy go to our foundation, Angel Whispers, which gets these books out into schools and into people's hands.
Wonderful. Thank you again, Sherry, so much for sharing some time with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Good. And folks, thank you for joining us on this edition of Mind Talk. Mind Talk is brought to you daily as an educational public service, and it is not intended to replace any work that you may choose to do with a mental health, medical health, or other professional. You can always listen to Mind Talk on demand by going to mindtalk.org. Mind Talk is produced by Jim Brown and 26 by 2 Communications. If you'd like to be in touch with me directly, send an email to Pamela, Pamela, at mindtalk.org. Again, that's mindtalk.org. And remember always, if it's unacceptable, it's unacceptable. You take care. Thank you.